Nope, not okay. Now I'm on. Wow, you get blinded up here. It's been a while. Well, I realized that the last time I preached was August of 2011. So it's been a few years, and I feel honored and grateful to have this opportunity to share God's word with you tonight. What God has put on my heart, and it's one of my passions, preaching and traveling around speaking. So we're looking in the book of Judges, chapter 4 to 6. But to open up tonight, I wanted you to stand with me, and we're going to read. I asked the Lord about what I should call this message tonight. And he reminded me of the simplicity of Christianity, which is trust and obey. So if you would read with me what's on the overhead. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commands. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. Hallelujah. Over everything. There's nothing that happens on this earth, on this planet, that our God has not allowed. What a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful. Oh, mighty God of all creation, that first of all, you have included us in the family of God. And Lord, it excites us to know that our life with you is going to be for eternity. And so, Lord, pray that you open the ears and hearts of your people tonight to hear the word which you have placed upon my heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So if you want to look in Judges 4 or 5, that's kind of where I'll be going from. That's what Pastor Les text that he gave me. And the story of Deborah the prophetess is told in there. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there really was only 5 prophetess that had made notice. And Deborah was being one of them. But also, on top of that, Deborah was the only woman judge in Israel. Rah. Not bad, eh? For back in the Old Testament days, God has a lot to say through us gals. Right, Michelle? Amen. So she has a tremendous story. And also, Deborah had more political power than any woman in the Bible. That's quite amazing. But when that person, whoever, whether it's a male or female, rules with the authority of the Almighty, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Amen? Is when somebody is speaking the word of God, that is true. And it's the word of God which is our meat. It's the word of God that sustains our life. Deborah was known as the mother of Israel. And often the people of Israel would come and find her sitting under a palm tree. And they would come and bring their disputes to her and their issues, their problems to her. And Deborah ruled Israel with a mother's heart and a soldier's strength. What a gifted woman she was. And the tenderness in counseling, the tenderness, and especially when you have different disputes from two different people coming with each their points. It's so important that we approach it objectively and not subjectively. And Deborah had a gift of hearing the word of God. Well, when Deborah was ruled as judge the children of Israel. Once again, Pastor Les, go figure. The children of Israel fell into bondage because they sinned and they stopped following the commands of God. And we're going to look at Judges chapter 2. I have it on the overhead, verses 11 and 12, NIV. When the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, they forsook the Lord, God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger. And so because of this, God allowed every time the children of Israel would walk away from like all the blessings that God had given. I mean, all the miracles that God had given the children of Israel. It's like, are they that thick-headed? Are they that blind? And but you see in the Old Testament where the Bible tells us, write these things on the symbols of your heart, on your door, tie them around your fingers, so we will not forget the goodness of what God has done in your life. It is so important, folks. It is so important to refresh your mind, to take time and remember the incredible wonders that God has done in your life. And often when I counsel with people, one of the things I tell them is, or one of the things I strongly encourage them to do, is keep a journal. Why? Because we forget. And not only that, when we go through a hard time, because we all go through hard times, and if you're not going through one right now, it will happen, I guarantee you. Sorry, but it's true. And it's so good to go to your journal, reflect upon the promises that God has given you, to reflect upon the things God has done in your past, where you have just rejoiced and said, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Amen? He's been faithful, and we need to reflect upon that because it gives us strength and courage to continue to fight our battles. So under the cruel and intimidating leadership of King Jabin, who with his 900 chariots of iron had been oppressing Israel for over 20 years, the Canaanites forced the Israelites to live up in the hills. So can you imagine this? Down in the nice land, the nice ground, agriculture country, highways and all that stuff, Israel was forced up into the mountains. Where can you get a good battle plan up in the mountains? And not only that, with these iron chariots. So you take that in your situation maybe today and you look round about and you say, God, my circumstances are too overwhelming. I mean, just look at what I have to deal with. Look at what I have to face. There is no circumstance too overwhelming that God, if you are there, God has allowed it. And that means God's grace will keep you. Amen? God's grace will. It is a fact. It is a fact, God's grace in every situation, every circumstance. But first I want to say here, in Psalm 75, 7, it says, but it is God who judges. He brings one down and another one up. And just on the side note here, dare I say this? Well, I ain't going to say it anyways. Whatever your political belief is, know whoever is in power. I know I said to my ladies when Trudeau got in, it was Wednesday, Thursday morning, I said to my ladies at Pastor Les's place when I came there, I says, ladies, we are called to pray. No matter what your political belief is, you need to know it's not by accident that Trudeau is there. It's not by accident that Trump is there. God has the ability to use whoever is there, whether that person is a believer or not. But you see so many of situations of the nation, how we fall away from the Lord. And God allows this stuff to happen in our country. And what does it say in 2 Chronicles? I know you know it. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray. And I know Anne Graham Lottes has been going around on a crusade of trying to call the nation to their knees in prayer again. The greatest thing, church, the greatest thing we can do as an individual, as a congregation, is pray. And saying that, we sure like to see more people in the prayer room. Hey, Pastor S, Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock to 10:25, come and pray for your church. Amen. Amen. You want to see God? We keep on proclaiming that we want God to use this church in a big way. Well, you got to pray, folks. Prayer is the key to absolutely everything. Every situation you find yourself in your life. No doubt about that. So that was for free. That was just in on the side. Oh, here we are. I live in chronic pain because I've been in 8 MBAs. So the medicine at times dries my saliva up, so hence, excuse me. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, now, God, little bit of history here, okay? God had told Moses when they fought in the land that they were to completely destroy these nations, completely destroy. Now, we may not understand exactly why. It's like, well, isn't God known as a merciful God? Oh, but he is. But God, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like that, God knew in some of these nations that God had called the children of Israel to totally cleanse the country, God knows what he's doing. We can never doubt that. So in Exodus 34, 11 to 16, I'm sorry if that's hard to see. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out, get this, I, meaning the Lord, I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, the Pezerites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, whatever. That, and you know what, for those who love Star Trek and Star Wars, I was going to say in the Klingonites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for your Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land, for when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you, and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Now Deuteronomy 7:2-9, it also says, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them and do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your wives. for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do down to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, burn the idols in the fire, for you are a people holy unto the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you because you choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you. Hallelujah. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors. And he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, to those who love him and keep his commandments. To those who love him and keep his commandments. See, every time Israel stepped out of line, and let me just say here, and I know Pastor Wes shared this last Sunday. This is not a racial thing, okay? This is a spiritual war. It's not a racial war. This is a spiritual war because these people were so far gone in their sacrifices, in the sacrificing of their children, and they were so so involved with the sickness of what they were doing. And that's why God said they were to be utterly destroyed, because they were enticing the Israelites because of it's something different. When something different comes along, doesn't it seem interesting? It seems intriguing. But Israel obedience had been incomplete, and Israel had adopted the customs and culture of these people who were technically advanced. Now, wow. You know, I have to say, my husband, love him to bits. My husband, he's my solid rock outside of Christ. I'm emotional, like I get excited and my kids kind of take after me. Michael, steady as she goes. I started talking about my husband and I forget what I'm talking about. Technically advanced. My husband still doesn't have a cell phone. He's from the Stone Age. Any amen? Like my daughter, Chelsea, bought him one for this Christmas. And he made her take it back. And he didn't replace it with a cheaper one. He just said no. Now, for your information, Michael, Pastor Les has finally saw the light. After 71 years, he has come to know the truth of how helpful cell phones are. So there is hope, people. Anything you have hoped and wanted, there is hope. He's a living example. But technical stuff, doesn't it just like intrigue you, draw you, just like, I want to understand that a little bit more. I want to play with it. It entices us away. I wrote down what compromise means. Oh, let me step back for a sec. As well with these Canaanites, their worship of their gods and incredibly gross sexual immorality and practices, so Israel became oblivious, completely forgot the covenant that they had, the promise. And see, when God makes a promise, it is binding. God will not go back on his promise. And that's a whole nother lesson in and of itself. Just God's faithfulness because of his binding promise. Whew, it's exciting, folks. It's exciting. But Israel got caught up in their toys look better. The new Samsung or iPhone 7 or 8 something is coming out, and you know everybody wants it, and they don't want their old phones anymore. But this gets ingrained in our hearts, in our lifestyle. And we find that we start watching things maybe we shouldn't really watch. I confess I have gotten caught up in that. Like sometimes I just like, oh God, like we really shouldn't be watching this. So I wanted to look up the word compromise, and this is what dictionary.com says. Compromise, a settlement of differences by mutual concession. No first. There's no compromise to be had with God, okay? God's word is, God said it, and that's it. And you know, I love it in the Old Testament when Moses says, but God, like, who am I supposed to say that you are? And this is our incredible God who has so much faith and belief, and he knows who he is. And so he says, tell him I am. Ooh. I am. Michelle, when you sang that song about a month ago in worship, The Great I Am, oh, it just could have gone on and on in worship. Just the power of who our God is. The Great I Am. He does not compromise. Okay, back to compromise. A settlement of differences by mutual concessions. An agreement reached by adjustment of conflicting or opposing claims, principles, etc. by reciprocal modifications of demands. Does that sound like the type of person you want to be? Where is the word integrity in your walk with God? It's like the frog. We all know the story of the frog. When you, well, at least I think we do. When you put a frog in warm water, it quite likes it because it's comfortable. But slowly and slowly, the burner's getting turned up, and you know what happens to the frog. It goes to restaurants, and they do dip it in chocolate, and you get frog legs. But you get what I'm saying. Satan knows what he's doing. He knows how to. If you have a weakness, if you have a little crack, he knows it, and he will come there. Satan no longer comes to the front door. He doesn't, or forget it, no. Satan no longer sneaks in the window. He doesn't have to. He will come to the front door because he knows our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And then further on in Proverbs 13:20, it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. People, church, I like the King James Version of the first verse I quoted. It says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. We need to be cautious with who we spend the majority of our time with, because it affects us, and it either drags us down or builds us up. Now, I'm not negating, like I am a huge believer in evangelism. I am a huge believer that we all need close non-Christian friends, because that's lifestyle evangelism. And fortunately, I've had the opportunity to lead many of my friends who I've embraced to the Lord, and that's how it happens. But folks, a righteous person is cautious in friendship, because I guarantee you, who you spend most of your time with, it's either going to drag you down some, it's going to take you away from the Lord, or it will build you up, encourage you, and inspire you. Amen? For us in our day, the Canaanite symbolizes our flesh, the natural life of man, which God finds unacceptable. Why? Because he is a holy God. He is a holy God. So that means all that we were in Adam, the first Adam, all that we are in Adam must be put to death, because we serve a holy God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty. This is our Father. Aren't we? Like, we are a privileged people. We should be like dancing and rejoicing and bring out the confetti, Pastor Les. Party time. One of the books I've read, and another thing, if you're not a reader, you need to learn to read, because it expands your mind, it expands your thinking, and it really helps in your growth. One book that I read a few years ago is called Called and Committed by David Watson. And this is what he says. When Christ calls a man, he bid him come and die. Every Christian is called to clear, dedicated discipleship, whatever the personal cost may be. You hear me? Whatever the personal cost. Are you just playing with this game of Christianity? Whatever the personal cost may be, because I guarantee you, one day you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and everything we've done in our life and every compromise we made is going to go through the fire. And I say, is it worth the compromise? Folks, church, we live forever. You are stuck with me forever. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, baby. Brother Hillbilly down there, I want to hear your CD. Folks, we live forever. Start guarding what you do. We know in John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Why? That you might go forth and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. So that means you've invested in people's lives. That means you've discipled. That means whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. We had this past week, Penny Ian Perez had 10 refugee kids from the age of 1 to 12 and 4 parents out to First McDonald's in the play area and then to Go Bananas. And it was wonderful. These kids were so excited, and they kept on coming and hugging and thank you. And even the moms, it's just like, oh, like I couldn't get my arms up. They're just hugging me and thanking me. And same with the other ladies. It's just incredible. And you know what we're doing? Like when we first met these Muslim refugees, we're talking not even a 6-foot cold air. It was a freezing air. You get what I'm saying? Now, we walk in the door, Penny, and we get a hug. And now the new family that we're supporting, Nana Amina, she just sit down. Ooh, thank you. You know, the language barrier is interesting, but ladies and gentlemen, we are loving them to the Lord. They've never seen anything like this in their life. They go, oh, Syria, Turkey, bomb, everything gone. I love Canada. It is just so exciting to see what's happening with these folks. And we are actually going to get the Muslim kids in our church at the next kids' night. And we have some of the Muslim kids, thanks to Penny and Pat, who are going to be part of a fashion show. And that means the moms will come. Oh, hallelujah! Church, hallelujah. Our church has 52 nationalities. Bring the Muslims in, amen? Bring them in. Let's love them to the Lord. But let's not compromise. Okay. Many Christians. Okay, no, back up a thing. Inward belief must be accompanied by outward obedience. Many Christians within the church want the comfortable compromise of conditional discipleship. It's all around you, church. It's all around us. Conditional discipleship. God wants to come back. Jesus wants to come back for a holy bride. Clean. And look, folks, we have to be a part of that. Because we know, we believe we are living in the last days. Amen? So get with the program. Sorry. But get with the program. There's too much compromising going on around us and within our church. We need to get our lives right. Conditional discipleship. Man, I tell you, you stand before the throne of God, and your regret is going to mean nothing because you live forever. Get that in your mind. Amen? Get that in mind. You need incentive? Think, I live forever. Whew. That kind of scares me. Not really, not, well, a little bit. The bottom line is our wish to have the final word, to decide when to say yes and when to say no. But the truth is uncomfortably clear. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, Jesus Christ is not Lord at all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus. Even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it means I have to go out of my comfort zone. Amen? Because what that means is we're walking by faith, not by sight. Listen, church, God's one command throughout the Bible and throughout our lives is to trust me. Trust me. Do you really trust your God? You know what? A fabulous show, and I know this could be a bit controversial, but, you know, I like to step out anyways and say things. Part of my personality. The Shack. You got to go see it. It really is interesting how they portray the Trinity and how much, how a part of our life the Holy Spirit is. He is a person, church. He's not just something they talk about in the Bible. It's not just something we sing about and read about. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when you become a Christian, that Holy Spirit is living inside you and living inside me. And he wants complete reign in your and my life. And it is a challenge. It is a challenge. Every single flipping day is a challenge because I want to do it my way. Right, Michael? My way is better. God's one command is to trust me. Every text in the Bible, every text in your life, every situation you are going through is calling you to a deeper trust in God. You would not be there if God did not allow it. You have to know that. You have to trust that in God's life. Even with the news we get, dear heart, you know who I'm talking to. Even with the news we get, God is God. And I have non-Hodgkin's follicular lymphoma cancer. And I was saying to Pastor Les tonight, every time I start getting some symptoms that feel a little different, I kind of get a little bit scared and the fear factor starts to rise. And I keep on going back to that song, In Christ Alone. No plan of man, I might have the lyrics off, but you get what I'm saying. No scheme of man or plan of hell can ever pluck me from his hand. Hallelujah. You know what? I don't fear my death. Now, God may use the cancer in my life to take me home, but I don't fear that because God has appointed to each one of us the day that he will call us home to glory in him. And so I can trust that. Isn't that wonderful? We can trust that in our Lord. It was in the cave. You know, when Saul was chasing after David, and King Saul and his army, chasing after David, it was when David was in the cave, he cried out to God, "Oh God, for you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living." In the cave, in the darkness, we can still cry out to God. He knows the way that we take. By submitting to God, or let me back up here, God has used pressures and pain, way too much pain, and problems in my life have been the situations that have pinned me to the cross of dying to myself and trusting in God. Trust would not be trust if it did not have requires some type of commitment for us to walk by faith and not by sight. So God will use these situations in our life, no matter how young or how old we may be. We never need to stop bearing fruit. And God will use these situations in our life to make us shine a little brighter. But we have to trust him. And I tell you, it is so much more relaxing. I say to my ladies at the Bible study I teach, I say, okay, ladies, what is the victory for us as Christians? Ladies, there's quite a few of you here. Peace. Peace. Pastor West talked about it today. Peace. Because we can be in the eye of our storm, but if we have peace, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I can walk through it with my head held high. Why? Because I know who my King is. Hallelujah. And he knows what he's doing in my life. So when I entrust it to him, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is my God and my King. God gave me back when, in my singles days, I did not get married till I was 34, not for lack of invites, I must say. No, I don't need to say that, but just, you know, on the side note. But I knew there was the perfect man for me. I knew it. Out of Christianity, I believe the second most important choice in our life is our mate. And I knew God had Mr. Michael Warren for me, from England, British, painfully British. But the verse God gave me was Psalms 31, 14, 15a. For you, O God, are my God. And he is. He is my God. In you I trust, and I do. My times are in your hands. Isn't that comforting? My times are in your hands. I don't need to worry about the situations in my life, because when I worry about the situations in life, it chokes the word of God out. Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India. Anybody familiar with her? Oh my. Okay, yeah, there's a few of you. This is something she said. Trust, I have learned, means to lean on, to place the weight of my confidence upon. I have trusted in, leaned on, placed confidence in your loving kindness. That loving kindness which has loved me with an everlasting love, which forgives and cleanses and will never tire. That loving kindness, Lord, I lean on. The power in your life, in my life, the result that results in blessings is in direct proportion to how much we are willing to hate our life, to die to your own will, your own goals, your own plans, your own dreams, your own desires, your own, even your own reputation. And that means even your reputation in a church. Because in a church sometimes, people, not sometimes, I guarantee you, in a church people will disagree with you. And then you could get labeled with a bad reputation. And that doesn't matter. Is my hope, is my trust in them, or is my trust in God? So even reputation, and I think this is what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross and die to yourself so that he can live through you. But don't forget, folks, don't forget, after the resurrection comes the glory and the power. Hallelujah. That same resurrection power that lives within us. Galatians 2:20, we all know this verse, and I decided to use the message version. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Jesus lives in me, and the life you now see in me is not mine, but it is lived by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, and I am not going back on that. Hallelujah. Are we crucified with Christ? Is it really true that we no longer live? Incomplete obedience on our part brings defeat, disorder, and a deteriorating lifestyle. And I know you know it just in your own walk when you have been disobedient to the Lord. Things have not gone as smooth as they should have gone. Not that if you're walking with God, things are going to go smooth, because, you know, like last year I had 3 breaks in 2 months, and there's nothing smooth about that. But I was walking with God, but he was teaching me stuff. But if you are not walking with God, if you're not total obedience, you will see deterioration in your walk. And we know that the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to get us any way he can, folks. The application in our lives is obvious. Our failure to complete surrender to destroy the centers of fleshly self-indulgence within us, only allow them to grow back. If Christ is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Because the enemy gets in there. The enemy tactics in Deborah's time resorted to a plan of dividing the people of Israel and denying access to good agriculture lands and highways. The Israelites were forced in their day to live up in the hills for safety. Well, so it is with us. The battle in our inner enemy, the flesh, deceptively and treacherously, I may say, appeals to us with his tactics in order that we might be brought into bondage and defeat. The plan of the enemy is, I just gave you part of that in John. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill your dreams, destroy your hopes, and all these things in our life. But it goes on to say, but I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. This must have been back in the early 70s. And I know there's plenty of people here that can or maybe remember that time. I think it was early 70s, and I forget the author of the song, but it was a really catchy tune on secular radio, and it goes like this. Somebody's knocking. Should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? I never dreamed he would arrive with blue eyes and blue jeans. Folks, we need to train ourselves to be aware of the enemy's deception. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. On the contrary, listen to this, on the contrary, hallelujah, the weapons of our warfare are mighty and powerful for what? To demolish strongholds. But if you don't know there's a stronghold on your life, how can you demolish it? That's why accountability is so important, which Pastor Wes alluded to this morning. But we need to know, we need to train ourselves. Christiane, this is another author. This actually, she wrote the book, on evangelism, lifestyle evangelism, I think it is. I can't remember. But anyways, this is what she wrote, a quote. Christianity is not a narcotic that dulls you into obedience. It involves battle. It's excruciating to give up control. You know that battle? Oh my goodness. It is excruciating to give up control, but that is why we must not feel despair if we are struggling. To struggle does not mean we're incorrigible. It means we are alive. Amen? So don't be defeated when you're struggling. And it's like, oh God, but I, you know, this would work so much better this way. Being in the world but not of the world means living righteously and morally, not compromising. Compromise is filtered into the Christian church that is just oozing out of so many Christian churches. Church, we are called to shine as a beacon. We are called to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its whatever it is? I love salt. I have to stop taking it because of my heart, but I still love it. Anyways, you hear what I'm saying? We are called to be the light of the world. It's important as believers we come to find out why God has arranged or allowed the circumstances in our life the way we find them and what his changeless standards are. You hear me? What his changeless standards are. There are some standards that are black and white. And you, as much as you try to justify, there is no justifying sin. There is no just, but we justify sin. But we have a God who is gracious. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. We are sinners. We all sin. But we have a God who is gracious and forgives us. We need to ask ourselves, what moral conditions have we inherited that are threatening our life and our well-being? Compromise. We too, as the Israelites, probably need deliverance because of how they have snuck into our lives. Deborah's example of God's willingness and ability to use a devoted woman or man to change the course of history and bring about a victory is because Deborah had listened to the voice of God. She took the time to listen to God, and we need to be a people that will take the time and listen to what our God says. We need to be a people that will meditate. We need to be a people that say, ask God that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord God. Amen? We need to be that type of person. In the church today, we need true disciples who will bind themselves to Jesus Christ in unswerving obedience and loyalty. The great tragedy of modern evangelism is many are called to belief, but not to discipleship, not to obedience. We need to make a difference in our society today. Amen? We need to make a difference. We need to stand up for what is right. In the Old Testament, it talks about raise up those standards. Oh, hallelujah, church. And our church, this church that we love, and the vision that God has given our pastors is going to make a difference in this community. Hallelujah. Stand with me as we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Almighty God. Father, it's hard to comprehend in such a short time here just the vastness of your great love. In God, how we see time and time again in the Bible, how you call, you have set your heart on your people, and we have been grafted into that, and yet how often we tend to walk away from it, oh God. And Lord, we know you say in 2 Chronicles that the Spirit of the Lord searched to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeing who he can find that is wanting to be faithful to the call of God on their life. In God, it says that you are searching for this person that you may give them strength. Well, God, we declare here tonight, we are that people. We want to walk strong with our heads held high. We want to be people who will trust and walk in obedience to what your word says. And yet, God, I just pray tonight that you, as we search our hearts, our own hearts, and maybe ask ourselves, where have I been slipping this past well? That, God, that you would indeed speak to us. That you would open our spiritual eyes and ears of understanding, Father, that we would be the people that you have called us to be. And maybe if you're one of those persons tonight who have been moved by the message and realize that I need to step up to the plate a little bit. I need to step out and be a bit more obedient. And I need a little prayer for that. Would you raise your hand in holy boldness for prayer? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, God is calling us. Let us not be embarrassed. God is calling us. He wants a holy bride. So, Father, have your way. Have your way in our lives. Yes. And God, I pray for these hands that have gone up and some hands that people know they needed to go up, but it's hard because, God, it is a battle to give you complete control of our life. So, God, I pray, I pray that you will continue to prick the hearts of your people, where they would come to the place where they can totally surrender everything, their will, their all, and stand back and see what a mighty God they serve and what you will do because of obedience. God, how you unlock our understanding when we obey you. So thank you, God, that we can leave all this with you and know that it is your desire to bring good things about in our life. God, it's all for your glory. We honor, we praise you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Can take a seat for just a moment.